إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلوات الله وسلامه عليه. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه العظيم الذي لا يأتيه الباطل بين يديه ولا من خلفه: ألم نشرح لك صدرك ووضعنا عنك وزرك الذي أنقض ظهرك ورفعنا لك ذكرك فإن مع العسر يسرا إن مع العسر يسرا فإذا فرغت فانصب وإلى ربك فارغب. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us in the Quran, in the 94th surah, a surah that is called Surah Al-Sharh. And another name for this surah is Surah Al-Inshirah, which means the expanding or the expansion. It is the 94th surah of the Quran and it was revealed in Mecca. And we want to come today, inshaAllah ta'ala, to explain the meaning of some of the ayat of this particular surah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, have we not opened up for you your breasts, ya Muhammad? Have we not expanded for you your breasts and removed from you your burden? That burden which weighed down your back, it caused your back to be heavily laden. And have we not raised you high in esteem? For verily, along with every difficulty, there is ease. And then Allah repeated that ayat again. Along with every difficulty, there is ease. So therefore, when you have finished your occupation, when you finish your work, and you finish with your dunya affairs, then devote yourself totally and absolutely to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to your Lord alone, turn all of your intentions and your hopes. This is one of the surahs of the Quran that almost every single Muslim knows, or he should know, because it's one of the smallest surahs of the Quran. And even though it is small in the number of ayat, and it is small in the number of words that are contained in the surah, nonetheless, the meaning of the ayat is tremendous. So we want to come today, inshallah, to share with you some of the meanings of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to do with some of his companions. But what is the intent of sharing this information? The intent is that we take it to heart and we try to praise Allah ta'ala by what we understand, and we try to practice what we come to learn, and not to allow the information to go in one ear and out the other ear. The Prophet told his companion sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لِيَنْ يَأْتِيَ أَهَدُكُمْ مِنَ الْمَسْجِدِ وَيَتَعَلَّمَ آيَةٍ مِنْ كِتَابِ اللَّهِ خَيْرٌ لَهُ مِنَ الْحُرُمِ النَّعْمِ وَآيَتَيْنْ خَيْرٌ مِنَ الْإِثْنَتَيْنِ وَالثَّلَاثَ خَيْرٌ مِنْ ثَلَاثَ. He says, صلوات الله وسلامه عليه, if one of you people were to come to the masjid, if you were to leave your home or you were to leave your work and you came to the masjid in order to learn one ayat of the book of Allah, to memorize it, to get the meaning of it, then verily that is better for you than one red camel. And two ayats, if you learn, are better than two red camels. And three, better than three red camels, and on and on and on. So this camel that was mentioned in this particular hadith that's been collected by Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim, on the authority of Abu Huraira, it is to the Arabs what is equivalent to us today to a Mercedes-Benz. So if someone had an opportunity to come to the masjid to obtain that which is better than one Mercedes, everyone in his right mind would be very, very happy to do so. So the meaning of this ayat in Suratu al-Sharh is that Allah Ta'ala asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or he informed him, Alam nashrah laka sadrak. Have we not opened and expanded for you your breast, Ya Muhammad? The meaning of this ayat is three things. And it means these three things simultaneously, which shows us the richness of the Quran and the richness of the Arabic language. And even though a person, Ya Akhi, when you come to the Jummah, you shouldn't talk. When you come to the Jummah, the person who talks to the next man, he destroys his Jummah, as the Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When a man comes to the Jummah, there's etiquette in the Jummah. He said, for you to talk to the next man, you destroy your Jummah and the reward of coming to the Jummah. He said, Allahu tabarak wa ta'ala, Alam nashrah laka sadrak. Have we not expanded for you your breast, Ya Muhammad? The meaning of this ayat is three things. The first meaning of it is that Allahu ta'ala is reminding the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of the blessing that Allah guided him to al-Islam. There was a time that he wasn't a Muslim. So Allahu ta'ala expanded his breast to come into the religion of al-Islam. So one of the meanings of the expansion of your breasts is that a person accepts the religion of al-Islam. To have your breasts expanded to al-Islam is the first meaning. And the way that we know that this is the meaning is from another ayat of the Quran, in which Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala said in it, فَمَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ أَنْ يَهْدِيَ يَشْرَحْ صَدْرُهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ. Anyone who Allah wants to guide, he opens and he expands his breast to al-Islam. If you were to look at the people who are non-Muslims, at this particular time, Allah Ta'ala has not deemed and he has not seen fit to have them to have their breasts expanded to al-Islam. So Allah Ta'ala is mentioning to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam this particular ni'mah. That's the first meaning of the expansion of your breasts. The second meaning of this ayat is that Allah Ta'ala again is mentioning to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam another favor that he bestowed upon him. He expanded his breasts in preparation for the responsibility of relaying the message. Alam nashrah laka sadrak. Have we not expanded your breasts, Ya Muhammad, to make you tolerant of the people, to prepare you for calling the creation to al-Islam? Because anyone who gets in front of the people and his job and his occupation becomes one in which he's going to teach and educate and instruct the people, he's going to have from the people problems, because the people are going to want to do what they want to do. So if the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling the people this is wrong and this is right, he's going to get from that which is going to be an annoyance. The proof that this is the case and this is the meaning of the ayat can be found in another ayat in Surah Taha, in which Allah Ta'ala sent Musa to Fir'aun. And Musa is a Muslim already by virtue of the fact that he's getting ready to be sent to Fir'aun. When Allah Ta'ala commissioned him to go to be the prophet and to guide and to call Fir'aun to al-Islam, Musa made a dua in which he used these very words to have his breast expanded by saying, Rabbi shrih li sadri wa yassir li amri. He said, oh my Lord, expand for me my breasts and make easy for me my task. Why did he ask Allah Ta'ala to expand his breast? Because when he goes to Fir'aun and he starts to tell Fir'aun to believe in Allah and to let Bani Israel go and to be good, he's going to hear from Fir'aun that which is an annoyance to him. Musa, you're just a magician. Musa, you have no power. Musa, you are a liar. Haman, build for me a ladder so I can go see the God of Musa. So Musa is making dua to Allah Ta'ala to make me tolerant of this man and what I'm going to see and what I'm going to hear. So that's the second meaning of the ayah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Alam nashrah laka sadrak. Didn't we bestow this favor upon you, Ya Muhammad, by making you tolerant of the people? You call them to that which is good, and they tell you, but my father said. You call them to that which will give them life, and they say, but we think the other way is better. You call them to that which is beautiful, wholesome, and that which is beneficial, and they want to kill you and boycott you. So that's the second meaning of the ayah. Before we move on, I just want to make this very important point as it relates to the expansion of the breasts and this issue of being tolerant. If a person's breast is not expanded, to understand a particular person or an issue, no matter what you do, they're never going to understand it. And so therefore, we should be like Musa, alayhi salatu wasalam, as it relates to making this dua when we have our family relations. The man should ask Allah Ta'ala to expand his breast to make him tolerant of what he sees from his wife. She should ask Allah Ta'ala to expand her breast to make her tolerant of what she sees and what she has from the bad things that annoy her from her husband. The third meaning of this ayah is something that everyone knows, is that it means that Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala literally expanded the breast of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he made the shaqq al-sadr, when he literally opened up his chest. And this happened two times in his life. Something that every Muslim should believe. It is a part of our belief system. It happened two times in his life. The first time it happened, it has been explained to us by Anas ibn Malik, radiyallahu anhu. And this hadith has been collected by Imam Muslim. He said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when he was a young boy, around the age of 5 years old, he was playing in the desert with some of the other children of the Quraysh. And then two angels came to him in the form of men. And they took him and they put him on the earth. And then they split his chest open and they operated on him. Open heart surgery 1400 years ago without any anesthesia, without any sharp utensils. Allah Ta'ala is able to do whatever he wants to do. They opened up his breast and then they took out of his chest his heart. And they washed his heart with the Zamzam water. And then one of those angels took something out of his chest that was like a morsel of flesh. And he said, "Hada khattu shaytani minka." This is the rope or the string or the portion that shaytan had in you. So they washed his heart out and they closed him back up again. And that happened when he was 5 years old. Alam nashrah laka sadrak. Did we not expand your chest for you, Ya Muhammad, and we literally opened up your breasts? The second time that that happened, Ikhwan, is in the Isra wal Mi'raj. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in Mecca, in the house of Ummu Hani. And this hadith comes to us also in Sahih al-Bukhari Muslim. Abu Dharr al-Ghaffari radiallahu anhu, he said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, while he was lying in his bed and he wasn't asleep, while he was lying in his bed, the roof opened up and Jibril came through the roof. And then Jibril opened up his chest. And after opening up his chest, he didn't take his heart out, but he poured in his chest the Zamzam water. And then after pouring in his chest the Zamzam water, he brought a golden tray that was filled with hikmah and iman. It was filled with wisdom and faith. And he poured that wisdom in his heart. And he poured the faith in his breast. And then after that, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was taken from Mecca all the way to Jerusalem on the animal that's called Al-Baraq. And from Jerusalem, he was taken up to the seven heavens to a point that not even Jibril can go to. Alayhi salawatullah wa salamuhu. And all of that was done in preparation of what was going to take place in that trip. It's not the ordinary trip that an ordinary man can take care of, that an ordinary man could sustain. So that's the meaning of the statement of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, Alam nashrah laka sadrak. It has three meanings. Number one, we guided you to al-Islam by expanding your chest. Number two, we made you mutahammil. We made you tolerant of what you're going to see and what you're going to hear from the people. And number three, we literally opened up your breasts. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala went on to say, وَوَضَعْنَا عَنْكَ وِزْرَكَ الَّذِي أَنْقَدَ ظَهْرَكَ. And we took off of you, Ya Muhammad, that which was a burden unto you. And that which caused your back to make you bend over and it was heavy on your back. The meaning of this aspect of this ayat is that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was like every other human being. And the thing that was a burden to him on his back is that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not feel comfortable with the idea of any of the sins that he had made. The prophets and the messengers are human beings. And by virtue of the fact that they are human beings, they make sins and they make mistakes. And we cannot be a people like the Jews or the Christians who go overboard in our love for the prophets and the messenger. Or we go under and we talk bad about the prophets and the messengers. The Jews, they go under and they lie about the prophets and the messengers. And the Christians, they go overboard in their love for Isa ibn Maryam. They say that he is Allah or the son of Allah. The Muslim ummah is an ummah that is on the Sirat al-Mustaqim. It's not too far to the right in their love or their hate, nor are they too far to the left. So we believe that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a human being. By virtue of that fact, he made mistakes. By virtue of that fact, he made sins. He says sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Kullu bani Adam khata'un wa khayru khata'in at-tawabun." All of the sons of Adam make mistakes, and the best of them who make mistakes are the ones who are repentant. Someone may hear, the Prophet of Islam made a mistake, he made a sin. We say, yes, a Muslim has to believe that. But we do not embellish that, nor do we sit and we talk about what was his sins. We just know as a human being that he made mistakes. Our mother Aisha radiallahu anha, she came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam while he was making salatul tahajjud. And his foot was swollen because he was standing there and he was praying for a long time. She said to him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulallah, limadha tastathqil ala nafsik wa qad ghufira laka ma taqaddama min dhanbik wa ma ta'akhara. She said, O Messenger of Allah, why are you making things difficult for yourself? Why are you praying so long like this and you have been forgiven for your sins, the ones that were in the past and the ones that are going to come in the future? So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam allowed her to make this statement. If it was an incorrect statement, he would have corrected her. But the point that we want to make from this particular aspect of the ayat, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that he took off of him his thing or his sin. When the prophets and the messenger makes mistakes, they're not like the normal human beings. Those of us who are sitting here, we are guilty of the new. We are guilty of different types of sins. For the most part, you will find that people will procrastinate as it relates to making tawbah to Allah Ta'ala and making istighfar. So a man can be guilty of a particular sin that he made years ago, and up until this point, he hasn't made any tawbah. Whereas you find the prophets and the messengers, alayhim salawatullah wa salamu, all the time, if they make mistakes or they make sins, it used to be heavy on them. And this is why Allah tabarak wa ta'ala said about the Messenger of Allah in this particular ayah, wa wada'na anka wizrak. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us for our dhunub and to make us of those people who are truthful in word and deed. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum wa nasallallahu ta'ala at-tawfiq wa sadaq. Bismillah wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah. Allah Ta'ala went on to mention in another portion of the Quran, wa rafa'na laka dhikrak. And verily we raise you, Ya Muhammad, in remembrance. We raise your remembrance and we exalted you. Allah Ta'ala has raised the Messenger of Allah's remembrance, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in a number of ways. To talk about this aspect of the surah alone is something that a khutbah should be dedicated to. Meaning that we don't have the time to get into details of how many ways Allah Ta'ala has raised the dhikr of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. But one of the more apparent ways and some examples of the meaning of this ayat, how Allah Ta'ala has raised Muhammad, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given Muhammad the Quran. And with the Qur'an and through the Qur'an, he has been raised. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Qur'an, وَإِنَّهُ لَذِكْرٌ لَكَ وَلِقَوْمِكَ. Verily, this Qur'an will be a remembrance for you, Ya Muhammad, and your people. The Qur'an will be something that you will be known by as well as your people. Allah mentioned that in the Qur'an. وَإِنَّهُ لَذِكْرٌ لَكَ وَلِقَوْمِكَ. Verily, this Qur'an will cause people to remember you and they'll remember your people. Before the Quran was revealed upon Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the two great civilizations during that time were Persia and Rome. The Arabs were disrespected, and they were a bunch of Bedouins in the desert killing each other. No one gave them any respect. But when Allah Ta'ala revealed upon them the Quran, He raised them in status. To this very day, the Arabs are an ummah that the people reckon with. You look across the globe and you'll find that the people, they look at the Europeans a certain way. They look at the Africans a certain way. They look at people who live in the islands a certain way. The Arabs to this very day are recognized. Why? Because Allah gave them the religion. But when the Arabs get away from their religion, and when the Muslims get away from that Quran, then the Quran is going to be an argument against them. As Allah Ta'ala said, or the Messenger of Allah said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّ الْقُرْآنَ حُجَّةٌ لَكَ وَعَلَيْكَ. The Quran will be an argument for or against you. I have to make it perfectly clear, because unfortunately our ummah suffers from a sickness, and that's the sickness of racism. Someone may sit there and think that I'm raising up the Arabs. I'm not raising up the Arabs. I'm telling you what Allah said in the Quran. وَإِنَّهُ لَذِكْرٌ لَكَ وَلِقَوْمِكَ. Verily, this Quran will be something that you will be remembered by Muhammad and your people. Who is his people? The Arabs. When Allah revealed to them the Quran, as the Prophet used to say to Quraysh, when he wanted them to accept al-Islam, he said to them, قُولُوا لَا إِلَهَا إِلَّا اللَّهِ كَلِمَةً تَمْلِكُ بِهَا الْعَرَبِ. He told the Quraysh, say La ilaha illallah and believe in this Islam. If you say this word, you're going to control the peninsula. You're going to control the people. So that's one of the ways that Allah Ta'ala has raised the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Another way in which Allah Ta'ala has raised the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that he will be given the Jannat al-Firdaus. When the Mu'adhin makes the Adhan, we have been taught to say a particular dua and to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the maqam al-mahmood, the blessed station that is only for one person, and that person is him. Allah has raised him over all of the other people. Another way that Allah ta'ala has raised the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that he has given him the shafa'atul uzma, the ability to make the great intercession. There are different types of intercessions in al-Islam. Yawm al-Qiyamah, people will be able to intercede for other people. The child will be able to intercede for the parent. The mujahid who died as a shaheed will be able to intercede for 70 people from his family. The one who memorized the Quran will be able to intercede. The Quran will intercede for people Yawm al-Qiyamah. But there is a great intercession. Which intercession is that? That is the intercession in which all of the believers are going to be standing there, and the time is going to be difficult, and they're going to say amongst themselves, let us go to Adam to get out of this situation. When they go to Adam, Adam said, I can't do it, I made a sin. Go to Noah. They'll go to Noah. Noah said, I can't intercede, I made a mistake. He'll say, go to Ibrahim. They'll go to Ibrahim. He said, I can't do it, I made a mistake. Go to Musa. Musa said, I can't do it, I made a mistake. Go to Isa. Isa won't mention that he made a mistake, but he'll just say, go to Muhammad. When he comes to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Rasulullah will have the ability to intercede for all of the people. So Allah Ta'ala has raised him above everyone else in this issue. How else has Allah raised him sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his dhikr? Right now in the world, at this particular time on the East Coast, you'll find the majority of the masajid making Salatul Jummah. And then there are other parts of the world, in Sudan and other parts of Africa, in the Arab world, in Europe, in which the people are praying Salatul Maghrib and Salatul Isha. And in some places they're praying Salatul Fajr. Every time for that Salat, the person who is the Mu'adhin, he has to say in the Adhan, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadar Rasulullah. So all the time, all day long, his name is being mentioned along with Allah Ta'ala's name. You cannot come into the religion of Al-Islam without coming through the door of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The first pillar of Al-Islam is the kalimatan, shahadatan, Azimatan. You can't come into Islam without recognizing that there is no God worthy of worship except Allah, and Muhammad is his messenger. But before we complete this, Ikhwan, I got to make this point. Even though Allah Ta'ala has made and legislated Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadar Rasulullah, that does not mean that we should worship the messenger of Allah. He used to take every opportunity to tell the people, don't say that. The man came to the messenger of Allah and he said to him, Ma sha Allah wa shitta ya Rasulullah. The man said, it is as Allah wanted and as you wanted. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started pointing his finger in the man's chest and he said, Aja'altani ma'allahi niddin, qul ma sha Allah wahduhu. Have you made me a god along with Allah? Allah alone, yasha, not anyone else. So say masha'Allah only. So when we say la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, that does not mean that Muhammad should be worshipped. Sometimes you go into the masjid, Ikhwan, or you go into someone's home, and they'll have a picture that says in Arabic, Allah. And then right next to it, they have a picture that says Muhammad. And they're equal. This is su'al adab ma'Allah. It's something that you shouldn't do. If you're going to have those kind of pictures, you should at least have Allah up and bring Muhammad down some. Why do we say that? The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had a ring. And since he was a person who was ummi, on his ring, he had written on his ring, Muhammad. In the middle, Rasul. At the top, Allah. What's the wisdom behind that? Muhammad is lower than Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Muhammad is a bashar. Muhammad is Bani Adam. He's from Bani Adam. So the ring said at the bottom, Muhammad. And in the middle, Rasul. And at the top, Allah. It didn't go Muhammad, Rasul, Allah. It went from the bottom, Muhammad, Rasul, Allah. Why? He used to stamp his approval or his stamp on the papers that were written to show the people, I am not Allah and I should not be worshipped. When he was dying, he said to his companions, when he came through, he was losing consciousness, and he came through, he said to his companions, La tatruni kama atrat al-nasara Isa ibn Maryam, wa lakin qulu Abdullah wa Rasuluhu. Do not go overboard in your love for me, as the Jews, as the Christians went overboard in Isa ibn Maryam. Say that I am the messenger of Allah and his prophet. Say that I'm his slave and his messenger. Allah Ta'ala has not given the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam the ability to be an ilah along with Allah. So these are some of the meanings of this ayat, inshaAllah Ta'ala. If Allah wills and Allah alone, we'll continue the explanation in the next few days. Ikhwan, I need maybe 3 of your minutes, inshaAllah, of some extra time. I'm here for the first time for the Jummah, and I just want to share this with you, and it's extremely important. Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala has told us in the Quran, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu istajibu lillahi wal rasul idha da'akum lima yuhyikum. Oh, you believe, answer the call, the invitation of Allah and His Messenger, if they call you to that which will give you life. All of us, we know how our lives are during the course of the week. In this ayat that the Prophet used to read in the surah that we read, Suratul Munafiqeen, there is a surah in which Allah Ta'ala said, لَا تُلْئِكُمْ أَمْوَالَكُمْ وَلَا أَوْلَادُكُمْ مِنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Don't allow your money and your children to make you forget about the remembrance of Allah. وَمَنْ يَفْعَلُ ذَلِكَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ. Whoever does that, he's going to have the khusran. He's going to be a loser. Most of us are from the khasirin because the dunya keeps us busy. We know our condition. I'm not saying all of the people are bad. I'm just saying, look at your condition. The day of Jummah is an opportunity for us to be from the falihin, from the muflihin. The day of the Jummah. Come into the salat for the Jummah. We don't come to the masjid every day, but Friday is an opportunity to make you of the people who are successful. The Prophet says, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, al-jum'atu ila al-jum'ah kaffaratun lima baynaha. One Jummah to the next Jummah is an expiation for what's between them. But we have to come to the Jummah the right way. The Jummah is from the Sha'air of Al-Islam. It's from the institutions of Al-Islam. There are certain things that we know the Muslims buy. You go to the Muslim country in Sudan or anywhere, you're going to see the Muslims dressed a certain way. You're going to hear the adhan. You're going to see the women a certain way. You're going to see the karam of the people and the behavior of the Muslims. Wherever you go, you can see the way they eat with their right hands, what they do, that this is a Muslim. They are sha'air of Islam. Allah said in the Quran, ذلك ومن يعظم شعائر الله فإنها من تقوى القلوب. And whoever makes big the sha'air of Allah is from the taqwa. It's the proof that you have some iman. Anyway, the Yawm al-Jum'ah is a sha'ira from the sha'air of Al-Islam. In all of our countries, we have the Jum'ah. So we have to learn how to come to Jum'ah. I see people coming to the Jum'ah. This one is talking to that one. You don't have a Jum'ah, ya akhi. I see the people coming to Jum'ah, and he comes in, we don't know the etiquette and the adab. The Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِذَا دَخَلَ أَحَدُكُمُ الْمَسْجِدِ فَلَا تَجْلِسْ فَلَا يَجْلِسْ حَتَّى يُصَلِّيَ رَكَعْتَيْنِ. If anyone comes into the masjid, don't sit down until he prays two rak'ah. The person may say, but the imam is talking. The Rasul was on the minbar, the man whose name was Abu Sulaik. He came into the masjid and he sat down. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam stopped the khutbah. He said, Ya Abu Sulaik, asallayta rak'atayn? Did you pray two rak'ahs? He said, no. The Prophet said, stand up and pray. So I want to give you brothers some advice. You have to learn about the etiquette of the Jummah if you want the reward of the Jummah. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ونسأل الله السلامة والتوفيق.